In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins, and for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. There are, broadly speaking, two types of saints and two types of holiness. There are saints in whom God shows his power by enabling them to triumph, to overcome sin and trials and temptations. And there are saints in whom God shows his power by recreating them in holiness after they have fallen. In today's Mass, we read or heard, if we happen to attend Mass today, the conversion of Saint Matthew, who in his own Gospel, or the Gospel written or redacted by him, recounts that event in very few words, saying that as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. In this very brief account of his conversion and vocation, we don't get almost any details, although we can infer something about the circumstances just from the very fact that Matthew was a tax collector, someone who was despised, who was an outsider, an outcast in the Jewish community, treated as a sinner. And that's why he continues that as he sat at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." But why did I then say in the beginning that there are also those saints in whom God shows his power through victory? Well, of course, in a sense, in all saints there are elements of both, or at least most saints. But there are some saints in whom the element of God's victory over sin and temptation is somehow more manifest or more accentuated. And one of those saints is a girl whom we remembered yesterday in the church's liturgical life, Saint Maria Goretti. Perhaps you know her story quite well. I'll just mention a few key aspects of her life. Maria Goretti was from born in the end of the 19th century in a poor family in Italy, and she was a very pious girl in a pious family, but the family had some misfortunes. The father, Luigi, fell ill, and in order to get by, they moved together with another family that they formed together a farm, very simple, humble farm. And it happened that in that other family, there was a boy called Alessandro, I think I read somewhere that it was 18, but then somewhere that it's 20, but anyway, older. Maria was, I think, 11, if I remember correctly. So they started working together as families, taking care of the farm. And this Alexander was a good worker, but he was getting into trouble with alcohol and also with bad books. By bad books, meaning he started spending a lot of time reading pornographic books. And assumed that the mother of Maria discovered this while cleaning. Then also the father, Luigi, died. And the girl, Maria Goretti, was very pious. In 1902, he made First Communion. And I remember reading years ago, I didn't find the text now that I was looking again, the facts of her life, that when she was preparing for First Communion, she made this resolution or this kind of promise, this decision that to God that I would rather die than commit sin. I would rather die than commit sin. I'm not entirely sure now, but I think it was a common prayer or a common decision that many Christians, many Catholics did in those times. Saint Jose Maria, I remember he used to say also the same, like antes morir que pecar, like one should rather die than to commit sin. Little Maria was very pious and quite a serious girl for her age, quite mature because of the harsh conditions in which she had grown. Now the problem is that this Alessandro, who was already grown up, began to make aggressive advances, in fact stalking her for many months, threatening to kill her if she told someone, and she didn't want to tell her mother because of fear of burdening her with more cares and creating more trouble with that family of the Serenellis, whose son Alessandro was. So very things got worse. There was a moment when Alessandro tried to take little Maria to the kitchen, but she resisted and said that no, this is sin, and you will go to hell if you for these things. But he got so angry. Maybe he had been drinking also. He got so angry, completely enraged, that he stabbed her with, it's not a knife, but some kind of a sharp object, several times, like 18 times, so if I remember correctly, but many times. And so obviously she was, as a result, in a very bad state. They managed to take her to a hospital on a cart, but there she died quite soon. It's a beautiful detail in the moments before she died. A priest arrived and so she received confession and communion, viaticum. And the priest also asked her a question that in the circumstances seems very hard. He asked him, have you forgiven your aggressor? Obviously he was thinking about that, well, it's a terrible thing, but it's also bad for her soul if she has not forgiven. And she in fact said that, yes, I have, and I'm praying for his conversion. I would want him to be with me in heaven. A very beautiful expression of her charity, even in those harsh conditions. Maria Goretti was canonized some decades later, when I think it was in the 1960s, 50s or 40s, by Pope Pius XII. And I believe this Alessandro himself was there also. I'll come back to that at the end of the meditation. Now, we often may experience kind of the humiliation of Lord, maybe I have said in my prayer that I also want to rather die than to commit sin, but perhaps my resolutions have not been that firm, and I have not been able to keep that resolution, at least not always. But I am, of course, encouraged by numerous examples from so many saints and saints already in the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, who give witness to real holiness in spite of their infirmity and weakness. There's Saint Peter the Great, who is also, we might call him Saint Peter the Weak, who thought he was very strong, but in fact, perhaps part of his pride was led to deny our Lord 3 times. But he came back. In fact, he repented immediately. He cried, seeing the face of our Lord, realizing, "What have I done, Lord?" And Jesus, you so beautifully called him back and gave him that opportunity to, so to speak, confess his sins, or more precisely, confess his love. "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." It's a beautiful practice in the sacrament of confession, of reconciliation. There is that custom that the penitent may say some words of scripture, as in the beginning, or as a way of beginning the confession. It's not obligatory, and it depends on what kind of a sheet you may have in the confessional, but one of the traditional words is precisely, "Lord, you know all things, you know that I love you." Many of us who have learned in Opus Dei centers to go to confession or say the formulary in Latin, you may remember, "Domine, Domine, nosti duscisque amo te." It's a beautiful phrase that becomes kind of a short prayer. There's Mary Magdalene, that great, well, it's not clear on the pages of scripture. There's some fathers of the church and saints who make kind of the identification between Saint Mary Magdalene and the sinner woman who comes to the house of Simon the Pharisee when Jesus is there and anoints Jesus' feet. It's a beautiful scene. Behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner. When she learned that he was sitting at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And there's kind of a dialogue between Jesus and the Pharisee who is judging her, and Jesus then who explains that, well, she is the one who has really loved more, because she has been forgiven much. She's aware of the many sins that she has been forgiven, and that has made her grow in love. That's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful lesson for us. Whenever we experience the weight of our sin, to realize, well, Lord, let my apparent humiliations become a source of true humility, trusting less in myself and more in you, realizing that your love is so much more powerful than the weight of my sins. Not only are you capable of wiping out my sins and doing them to nothing, but making them into nothing, but you're also capable of drawing good and genuine holiness and love in my heart as a result of that experience of your mercy. It also makes me more understanding towards others and more capable of carrying them in my heart. And then, of course, there is the great saint, one of the greatest saints of the Old Testament, Saint David. We don't usually call him Saint David, we call him King David, but he is also a saint and venerated as a saint in the church's tradition. saint not because of his great holy deeds, but especially because of his deep faith and contrition. You remember the story? He fell to that act of adultery, and adultery leading also to his scheming to basically murder the husband of the girl with whom David went to bed. And then he was called by Prophet Nathan to genuine conversion, and he confessed his sins, and he wrote that beautiful psalm, that Miserere Psalm 50 or 51 in the Hebrew numbering, which begins with that Miserere, with that numerous, very beautiful, among the most beautiful compositions of psalms. I'm not able to sing it here, but maybe you remember having heard some of those versions of that. Really, really moving. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy steadfast love, according to thy abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. It's a confession of his sins, and we can use it also for our prayer as a confession of our sins, but it's a confession of faith also, a confession of trust, hope, and confidence that God has that that heart of mercy and the power to not only forgive us, so to speak, formally, but really blot out, to take away our iniquities and remake us, recreate us. That is what there's really beautiful, powerful, inspired words. They say, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow, fill me with joy and gladness, let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. It's really theologically very deep prayer. It's beautiful, this expression that cast me not away from your presence, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Well, that's what sin does to us, isn't it? That it takes us away from God's presence, it separates us from God. It so to speak, drives out the Holy Spirit from our soul. And that beautiful prayer is like an invitation, come back, Holy Spirit, come back. I want to live with you, I want to obey you. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. There is joy, there's peace when the Holy Spirit is with us. That's why the confession is that sacrament of joy, sacrament of peace. Lord, we want to be always with you, even though we sometimes fall. Help us to renew our resolution to be always humble, and also to make an effort, to make a struggle, to perhaps saying again that beautiful resolution or petition, Lord, that I would rather die than to commit sin. Of course, we almost cannot avoid falling to venial sins quite easily, those sins in which our understanding or our will is not quite there, not quite present. We should always avoid deliberate venial sin, sin that is venial or small, merely because of its the smallness of the matter, like small lies or stealing little things, so to speak. Of course, we should always avoid those as well, in addition to serious sins. Lord, give us that resolution to make an effort, and also in the battle of purity of which the story of Santa Maria Goretti speaks so powerfully. Pope Pius XII, in his homily on the canonization of Maria Goretti, speaks about this. He makes an invitation to make that effort. He says, among other things, that for Maria's story, carefree children and young people with the zest for life can learn not to be led astray by attractive pleasures, which are not only ephemeral and empty, but also sinful. Instead, they can fix their sights on achieving Christian perfection, however difficult or hazardous that course may prove. With determination and God's help, all of us can attain that goal by persistent effort and prayer. Effort and prayer, that combination, not just making an effort on our own, but also not just praying, but really praying and making resolutions, decisions, and effort. Pope Pius XII continues, not all of us are expected to die a martyr's death, but we are all called to the pursuit of Christian virtue. This demands strength of character. A constant, persistent, and relentless effort is asked of us right up to the moment of our death. There's a similar idea in the Church Father, St. Ambrose, who speaks about the life of virtue as a kind of martyrdom. Martyrdom in the two senses of the word. One is the sense of dying to oneself, in that image of St. Paul, the death of the old man, so to speak, kind of the man of the flesh, the man of mortality, with its disordered demands and desires, but also martyrdom in that sense of witness, testimony. Just like the martyrs of blood give a testimony of their faith and the power of God, so also we, with our virtuous life and with our attempt to live a pure life and to guard our heart, we also give a great witness and testimony to the world around us, to the people around us. Through her prayers, Pope Pius says finally, let us all, with God's grace, strive to reach the goal that the example of the Virgin Martyr Saint Maria Goretti sets before us. Through her prayers to the Redeemer, may all of us, each in his own way, joyfully try to follow the inspiring example of Maria Goretti, who now enjoys eternal happiness in heaven. Now, a few ideas before we finish. How shall we concretize that effort? So in addition to praying, of course, prayer is very important. Saint Jose Maria in The Way speaks about, he has that nice idea on the chapter on holy purity. He says the holy purity is given as a gift by God to those who ask for it with humility. It's quite a powerful idea and quite a practical idea also. How much am I aware of the need for your grace? How much do I desire? How much do I desire and ask humbly, as someone who does not really merit it, who's not really worthy? How do I ask for those gifts of the Holy Spirit that are so necessary for a pure life and a pure heart? But also, we do need to make an effort and decisions. Perhaps the starting point, I just wanted to take this great phrase of St. Paul in his letter to the Romans in chapter 12. He speaks about the need for a change of mind and a kind of a determination not to live like the rest of the world. Well, that was the case in the times of poor Alessandro Serenelli, and it's much more the case in our time. He says, I appeal to you, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. It's a powerful idea that giving our life, it's not only talking about, of course, chastity, but chastity is included in that. Giving our life, including our material dimension, as a living sacrifice to God. And he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect, or what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, of course, in many ways, charity, forgiveness, kindness, justice, and so on, and chastity, all those different virtues are part of this will of God, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But we need for that a transformal renewal of our mind. Well, Saint Jose Maria, I just wanted to mention briefly in the book the way he gives some practical ideas, like that nice phrase, don't be a coward, flee. Like there is kind of a false courage, which is really just not wanting to trouble ourselves with making an effort to avoid occasions of sin, whether it be the things we read or watch or situations where we may end up. There's a kind of a paradoxical courage in fleeing, going away, being determined to go away from occasions of sin. That's often the most important resolution. He also talks about getting up quickly and humbly, as often as possible and as soon as possible, taking advantage of the gift of confession, also for smaller things, silly thoughts, things that we have read a little bit and realizing this is not good for us. Well, Lord, help me to start again humbly and quickly. And then using humiliations to grow in the true virtue of humility, growing in hope in God alone. And then another quick idea before we finish, I wanted to read from a letter, an open letter to the world, from the man who killed Saint Maria Goretti. This was written in May 1961 by Alessandro Serenelli. It's not very long, I'll read the whole thing. It's quite moving and beautiful witness. He writes, I am now almost 80 years old. I am close to the end of my days. Looking back at my past, I recognize that in my early youth I followed a false road, an evil path that led to my ruin. Through the content of printed magazines, immoral shows and bad examples in the media, I saw the majority of the young people of my day following evil without even thinking twice. Unworried, I did the same thing. There were faithful and practicing Christian believers around me, but I paid no attention to them. I was blinded by a brute impulse that pushed me down the wrong way of living. At the age of 20, I committed a crime of passion, the memory of which still horrifies me today. Maria Goretti, now a saint, was my good angel, whom God placed in my path to save me. Her words, both of rebuke and forgiveness, are still imprinted in my heart. She prayed for me, interceding for her killer. 30 years in prison followed. If I had not been a minor in Italian law, I would have been sentenced to life in prison. Never resigned, I atoned for my sin. Little Maria was truly my light, my protectress. With her help, I served those 27 years in prison well. When society accepted me back among its members, I tried to live honestly. With angelic charity, the sons of St. Francis, the minor Capuchins of the Marques, welcomed me among them, not as a servant, but as a brother. I have lived with them for 24 years. Now I look serenely to the time in which I will be admitted to the vision of God, to embrace my dear ones once again, and to be close to my guardian angel Maria Goretti and her dear mother Assunta. May all who read this letter of mine desire to follow the blessed teaching of avoiding evil and following the good. May all believe with the faith of little children that religion with its precepts is not something one can do without. Rather, it is true comfort and the only sure way in all of life's circumstances, even in the most painful. Pace e bene. Peace and all good, Alessandro Serenelli. It's a beautiful witness to two things. One is the holiness of Maria Goretti, because it was no doubt partly her prayers that led to his conversion, but also the power of God's grace in that this poor man, he really became a saint too. I suppose he won't be canonized, but there's a sense in which he could be canonized too, because he really did have a deep conversion, and at the end of his life he was really looking forward to heaven and the vision of God. Well, these two are beautiful examples of that idea that I said in the beginning, some saints in whom God's power shines forth through their triumph in tribulations, and others in whom God shows his power in his mercy and love that remakes them after their falls. Well, Lord, we pray also, we ask Maria Goretti to pray for us too, and also this Alessandro, who now no doubt is in heaven as well, to pray for us as well, that whatever our failings and triumphs may be in this life, we would always be surely in your hands, O Lord, carried by your grace and your Holy Spirit. Mary, our Mother, pray for us as well. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations which you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.